Amen. Thank you, Mixed Quartet. Sure do appreciate that. Well, several years ago, when I surrendered into the gospel ministry, it was an exciting time for me as a young man, because I knew that the Lord had placed His calling upon my life and that I would spend the rest of my life in ministry of some kind. And I didn't exactly know at that point what the ministry would be. I was just excited to be called into the ministry. That was one particular night in a revival service with Dr. A.V. Henderson preaching. The next night, I returned back to the revival service, and really, nobody had even known that I had surrendered to the ministry because I didn't go forward. And it was just something I took care of and surrendered right there in my seat during the invitation time. So the next night, I'm attending the service, and the Lord is still working in my heart. And during the invitation time, the Lord impresses upon my heart that I needed to take some time and pray that somebody would trust Christ. It's hard to explain if you're unfamiliar with how the Lord works in your life, but if you felt the Lord work in your heart, you know what I'm saying. He impresses upon you, you need to pray for somebody's salvation. I was sitting on this end of the church. I just bowed my head and I started praying. And I just, Lord, if there's anybody here that's not saved, I just praying. As quickly as He impressed upon my heart, the impression left. And it was so abrupt to me as a young man and having a desire to be in the ministry that I opened my eyes and looked. And when I did so, somebody was walking down the aisle on the opposite side of the auditorium, came to the pastor who was standing down in front of the pulpit. He took her by the hand and they talked for a few minutes. And then he turns around and says, "Church, I'd like to announce to you, introduce you to so-and-so. She's trusted Christ as her Savior just right now." And I remember that I was sitting there on that side of the auditorium. I was now about 24 hours called into the ministry, okay? I wasn't in Bible college. I was in a secular college. And I was just attending this revival college, this revival at a church. And the Lord, 24 hours after, impresses on me. And I felt like used me to see somebody come to Christ. I know I didn't witness and give the gospel, but I prayed. And I felt like the Lord had given me the opportunity to have a part and someone's coming to Christ. And I can remember, I said, "Lord, if You will use me in the gospel ministry to just get the gospel to as many people as I can and have a small part throughout all of my ministry with an emphasis and a focus on people coming to Christ, I'd be thrilled. This is what I want." It was really the first time in my life that I had any significant role that I can remember of seeing someone come to Christ. And so for me, it was a small taste of it. And I thought, "Lord, use me in the ministry. Let my focus forever be winning people to Christ and bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ." Little did I know that now, several years later down the road, that every aspect of my ministry from the time I entered the ministry until now would essentially be focused on evangelism and soul winning and missions and bus ministry. And the Lord has answered my prayer so abundantly in using me to one degree or another to bring people to Christ that honestly, I'm honored and I'm thrilled and I can't believe it. I'm humbled and it's just exciting all at the same time just to have a part in seeing people come to Christ. One of the things I never, ever thought I'd have an opportunity to do would be as involved in missions as I've been over these last several years. I can remember my first mission trip I went on was a few months after the event that I'm telling you about. And it was to Mexico, deep into Mexico. And the Lord really spoke to me and I had an opportunity to preach and meet people. And it was just fantastic. It was really enjoyable. After that, I didn't take a trip or really get involved in missions very much at all. Until the church here in about 2008 put it in the church budget that a pastor should take a missions trip. I remember the first time I went anywhere was to Australia. We spent a few days in Australia and a few days in New Zealand and had an opportunity to do some preaching and do some outreach events. And it gave me again that taste for missions and gave me that desire that I want to see people come to Christ, not just here in Avon and not just where the Lord has me, but I want to be used of the Lord to see people come to Christ all around the world. I mean, without limits, just everywhere and anywhere. Let's just, Lord, use me to in this way. Well, the Lord has given me since then, I mean, you know, because we walked through these things together, the Lord has given me an opportunity to be in several different countries now and given me an opportunity to see people of all different types of languages and skin culture, skin colors and cultures. And it has been absolutely amazing to have a part in missions. Missions has honestly become one of my most favorite things to do. It's missions. Now, as the Lord began working on my heart regarding missions at this church and I took over missions, I was probably like every other missions pastor or missions director in most, I would say, in the country. I didn't exactly have a specific plan or a goal that I wanted to accomplish in missions. I just knew I wanted people to get saved. So I was really broad. If anybody called the church, then let me talk to you and find out what you're doing. And I was very broad in the missionaries I would try to bring in and the missionaries we would put before the church and missionaries that we would support. Just really broad, like most churches are. You just bring in a missionary if the guy seems pretty nice, you know. You bring in a missionary to the church if he's got a really nice letter that he sends to you or a really nice presentation. And this is how you base the missionaries that you bring in. It was a few years down the road that the Lord started really working on my heart that we needed to develop a more specific and strategic mission strategy. That honestly, the approach of just kind of filling, you know, your shotgun there full of, you know, birdshot and shooting it out and just seeing how far it can get out was okay. But I wanted something more strategic. I wanted something more impactful. And I began praying that the Lord would help me. I didn't know much about missions. I just had a burden for it and wanted to help lead the church in that way. And Pastor Monty had tasked me with the responsibility. It was during that time of trying to search and study and learn more. It was about that time that suddenly Ken and Linda and Emily Fielder walk into the church. And it was interesting because the Lord brings them to our church and then allows me the opportunity to get to know Ken in a better way and to become friends with Ken. Well, talking to him and how he had stepped out of the pastorate and had become, you know, gone into missions and hearing that and hearing about his strategy and how he was so focused and all these things really began to me as the turning point for what is the mission strategy of our church going to be. I no longer wanted it to be just, let's bring in a missionary if he's a nice guy. Let's just bring him in if he has a lot of passion for the work. I wanted something more strategic, and I really felt like the partnership with Ken Fielder at our church was a huge blessing, not just to the church, but to me personally as the one that oversees missions. Because it allowed me, by him and the influences and the scriptures, to develop a mission strategy that has honestly, for the most part, become absolutely razor sharp and has really become one of, I genuinely believe, and I know I'm a part of the church and I lead it, so I should be biased, but one of the better missions, plans, and strategies that are out there. I'm not just saying that because I lead it. I'm saying that because of what I hear from missionaries and what I hear from pastors, and when I ask questions and how missionaries say to us, listen, Pastor Lopez, you need to go to Bible colleges and you need to teach young pastors before they get into the pastorate what a church mission strategy should be like. And I'm just excited about how the Lord has brought us through this evolution of several years. And I want to present it to you tonight. I feel it appropriate. We know that Brother Ken is in Uganda. He's with his missions team. We know the mosques are here and they have the ministry in Uganda. There's so much going on. I thought tonight would be the most appropriate opportunity to remind you of what our mission strategy is. If you would, let's go in our Bibles and look at several texts. These texts are basically the seed for our strategy. They spring forth from the text that we are going to read. In Matthew chapter number 28, if you'd look there with me. In Matthew chapter number 28, we're going to read through about four different passages of Scripture, and then I'll walk you through the philosophy, the biblical philosophy that springs forth from these four passages of Scripture. Matthew chapter number 28, as we read, I want you to notice the terms that are common to each one of the texts, and we'll emphasize them at the end. The Bible says in Matthew 28, verse number 19, commonly referred to as the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations. All right, so right away you find that phrase, all nations. It's going to appear quite often. All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So you find a continual emphasis on working and training and teaching and growing. Obviously, it's given to the church, so the church is a vital part of all this. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. It was a powerful text referred to as the Great Commission. Now go a book forward to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 16. We're going to read these and then we're going to sum them up. Mark chapter number 16, look at verse number 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 16, verse number 15, the Bible says this, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world." So now you have that all nation sense, all of the world. Make sure you go everywhere. "And preach the gospel to every creature." So let's go into all of the world and let's make sure the gospel is preached to every single individual. Let's leave nobody out. That's how we can take that. Go with me, if you would, to the next gospel, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24. Look with me at verse number 46. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 46. "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So this preaching should take place in their locale, but it should also scatter across all nations. You're beginning to get the sense of all of these commands that are given to the church go way beyond just where the church is located. And the church is told to go everywhere. Let's look, if you would, at Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 1. You'll know this text. Acts chapter number 1. In Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, a very common text, the Bible says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Again, the power that the Holy Spirit is going to provide to you is going to be a power that should enable you to get the gospel message out, not just to your locale, but all around the world. He says, all the way unto the uttermost part of the earth. So you take these four passages of Scripture and you try to sum up what the general missions philosophy of our church is, and this is what it is. It is the belief of Faith Baptist Church that biblical missions focuses on the Word of God, the spreading of the gospel, and the church. Biblical missions will always focus on the Word of God, the spreading of the gospel, and the church. Three common threads that run through each one of these passages of Scripture. The Word of God, the local church, and the spreading of the gospel message. It is the belief of Faith Baptist that every tribe, every nation, every tongue should have a gospel witness and also a copy of the Bible in their own heart language. Every single individual should have an opportunity to hear the gospel witness to them and also a copy of the Word of God so that they have the opportunity to read it for themselves in a language that they understand. So based on these beliefs, here are some of the conclusions that we come up with. I'm going to throw them out at you. At our church, and this is so you know, if you have any questions about missionaries we support, don't support, bring in or don't bring in, or how we use the missions dollars at our church. Missionaries will be supported or considered for support only if their ministry focuses on translating the Scripture or church planting. These are two very simple guidelines that we have that are based in the core beliefs of the text that we just read. So out of our missions funds, every dollar that you put into missions, nobody is even considered for support or brought before the church or even really had much of a conversation with unless that ministry is specifically focused on church planting or Bible translation. You say, this sounds really simple, doesn't it?
but you have no idea the things that we hear are ministries that are requesting our missions dollars. Every week, I kid you not, we can check with the secretary to be sure, but we probably get 3 to 5 missionary requests per week. 3 to 5 ministries saying, let me come to your church and present my ministry. You realize how many that is? I mean, that at the high end, that's 20 per month. And so if we are going to just kind of go with whose presentation looks the best, then we're going to have so many different people doing so many different things that it ends up very confusing. But when you take the biblical accounts of missions and what God's specific task to the church is, you have to conclude that missions is always centered on the church, and missions is always centered on the Word of God. Two essentials to biblical missions. So at our church, we only bring them in if they focus on these two things. Translating the Bible into a language where the people currently do not have it. Or strategic personal involvement in church planting. And not just a strategy to plant a church, but a strategy to plant a church, and then another church, and then another church. As an example of that, several years ago, we supported a missionary who planted a church in another country, and he ended up being at that church and pastoring that church for many years. After further consideration and conversations and talking, it turned out that the missionary was really not necessarily planning on starting any more churches. He was just going to pastor that church. And that's a good thing. And I think that churches need pastors. But I think that church needs to get to the point where it supports that pastor, because our missions funds focus on the translating of scriptures or on the continual process of church planting. Needless to say, we no longer support that missionary, because we want missionaries that will go to the field, plant a church, and then look to reproduce themselves by planting more churches. That happens a couple of different ways. Either the missionary themselves puts a national in his place and then goes out and starts another work and then places a national in his place and then goes out, or the missionary starts a church and then sees people come to Christ and then trains the nationals from within that church to go out and to start other churches. And then he trains more nationals to go out and to start other churches. So though he himself may be staying in the one church, he has a strategic plan in place by which the Lord will empower his ministry to continue planting more churches. He's not just going to stay there and pastor that church as long as he lives, essentially. So missionaries that are supported or brought before our church have to fit into these two categories: Bible translation into a language that doesn't have it, or planting a church with a strategic continual process where the churches will continually be planted. Missionaries will only be supported from our church or considered for support if their ministry location has few or no churches or is located in a closed or restricted nation. This is when I tell you that our missions philosophy is super razor sharp. Because when people contact our church, or when we look for missionaries that we're going to support, we are not just looking at any country anywhere around the world. Because honestly, that's what probably, and the missionaries could say best, but I'm going to say, maybe even being nice, 80% of the churches in the country are the kind of churches that they really don't care where you're going. It's just, you've got a burden and we're happy, so we'll just give you money, go do it. There aren't very many churches who are saying, listen, we know most of the churches in America are sending missionaries anywhere. I mean, just go to whatever country you want. So what we're going to do as a church is we're going to say, we believe that God wants all nations and all people, every tribe and every tongue, to have the Word of God and to have a gospel witness. So while 80% of the churches in America are supporting missionaries to just anywhere, we are specifically going to target missionaries who are going into the regions of the world where there is little to no gospel witness, like you heard tonight, or where the country or government themselves says, you're not allowed to come in, either a restricted or closed nation. So that's why most of the missionaries that you have before you, you'll notice, that present their works, they're either going somewhere where there's hardly anybody there, they're going to be one of the only ones, or they're going somewhere where their government says they're not supposed to go to that location. These are specifically the ministries that we are targeting. So if somebody's a really good missionary and appears to be doing a really good job, but is in a country where there are already dozens or hundreds of missionaries in that country, we're going to let all of the other churches in America take care of them. We're going to strategically choose the missionaries that are going into those countries where everybody says it can't be done or it's too difficult. I'll explain to you how we invest so much into them. But that's what we are looking for. So it's not just Bible translation and church planting. It's Bible translation and church planting in very strategic locations where there is nobody. That's because we want to focus on the Word of God getting to every tribe and every people in all nations. And also missionaries being supported for support will always present their ministry to the membership of our church during some kind of service. And there is always some kind of communication with the missionary in regards from Pastor Monty or myself where we're asking the tough questions. That'll come later tonight. The tough questions. So if you're sitting out and you're thinking, well, do you just see a missionary just like we do their presentation and decide on that? Well, absolutely not. Because then what happens is then we spend time with them outside of the church service and we make sure that their strategy is according to our specific missions philosophy. And that way every missionary we have is zeroed in with a razor sharp focus, empowering our missions program to be more aggressive than it's ever been in recent history for sure. Now, what happens when we decide we're going to support a missionary? I'm going to ask you to go to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to end with this text. Philippians chapter 4. I like the book of Philippians because of the relationship that Paul, a missionary, had with the church and how he communicates with them. I think I like this because as he communicates with them, he says things to them that indicate his heart for the church. His heart for the church came from, you can see in just a moment, from their care for him as a missionary. And honestly, I want all of our missionaries to be able to feel about us the way we are going to read Paul felt about this church. And that's part of why we do what I'm going to explain in just a moment. In Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 10. Paul the missionary is writing to this church. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Paul, you can see Paul is thanking them here at the beginning of the text how greatly they cared for him. And now here in verse number 14, he's saying, you have so well done so well because in my affliction you continually communicate with me. This helps teach me as a missions pastor how important it is to maintain contact and to know what our missionaries are going through and to be able to support them and pray for them and to make calls. I love the fact that sometimes I come into the office and within 1 hour, it's not on our telephone. I have an online type thing, so don't think I'm spending hundreds of dollars. But within 1 hour, I can call all around the world. Sometimes I like to just bring Petey in there and say, Petey, you see this country, I'm going to call now. And I love to touch base with missionaries all around the world. And this is what Paul is saying to them. You're communicating with me even when I was in need. Verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. You're the only one that's giving. You're the only one that's being faithful. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Paul the missionary says, every time I had a need, you just kept helping. You kept providing it. Not because, verse 17, I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul knows what he's doing, and he knows he can't do it without the church. So Paul, while he's doing his own work, says, I'm so glad that the church is getting in on this fruitful action. That's how it is when you go overseas and you see these missionaries. They say to you, thank you so much because I can't do it without you. And you have a part of what I'm doing. It's like our footsteps are covering the world through how we support these missionaries. It's amazing. Verse 18. But I have all and have abounded and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Oh, you know how many times I've played the role of Epaphroditus? I mean, you know how many times I've been to a missionary and said, because every time I go to a missionary, we give something to them, a gift, a financial gift. I think the last missionary we went to, I think we took $2,000. You know how cool it is to be Epaphroditus? Hey, listen, Faith Baptist loves you. We pray for you. We think about you. Here's $2,000. What? Are you serious? It is amazing to play the role of Epaphroditus in bearing the gift to the missionaries on behalf of Faith Baptist Church. But you can read through the entire book of Philippians and you can see how vital the role of a church is in the life of a missionary. The church has to care for them. And we receive God's blessings in return. So let me close with these things. It is the belief in regards to our commitment to the missionaries we support. It is our belief that Faith Baptist Church, that biblical missions emphasizes a good relationship between the church and the missionary. A good relationship. And we believe that the church plays a vital role in the life and the ministry of the missionary. Not just his ministry, but in the life and the ministry of the missionary. So here are the commitments we make to the missionaries. Faith Baptist starts monthly financial support of every single family at $220 per month. Brother Moss, let me ask you this. I'm putting you on the spot. I ask every missionary that comes in, if you take all of your support and you average it out, what would you say is the average amount of money a church supports you monthly? What is that? $100 a month. Some missionaries have said about $125. Some have said as low as $75. So here is what our church does. Because we're specifically targeting such a specific region, we are getting behind them sometimes two and three times more than any other church will. So we're saying, you're going to translate scripture, you're going to plant churches continually, you're going to that region of the world where there's hardly anybody there or where the government says you can't, so we are going to put a whole lot of resources behind you to get there. And this is what our church does. Individuals, unmarried individuals that we don't technically have now start off lower, but a family starts off at $220. Support amounts are frequently or periodically considered for increase as the missionary demonstrates faithful service and commitment to be in an impactful ministry. There is a missionary who's really doing a tremendous job and God is blessing and their work is requiring more funds. That not every missionary stays at 220. We have missionaries that are at 250, 275, 300, 350, 375, and our highest missionaries are supported on a monthly basis at $400 per month. We get behind our missionaries because they're doing exactly what we want them to do. And then it is our responsibility to communicate to the church what our missionaries are doing. So at Faith Baptist, we pray for the missionaries on a continual basis. Every Wednesday night, there's a new missionary prayer bulletin. Read it. It's got several letters. Every Sunday, there's a missionary of the week that is highlighted in the back of the bulletin. Read that. That's an opportunity to keep missions before you. And then oftentimes we bring missionaries in and that gives you an opportunity to connect to the missionaries, talk to the missionaries, get to know the missionaries. So that way they become an important part of our church, important part of who we are, an important part of what we do. Missions at our church, it's zeroed in. Really is. We support approximately 40 missionaries at this point. Most churches that are supporting at 75 a month are trying to support 70 our missionaries at $75 a month, and they're trying to have about 200 missionaries. There are churches out there that probably have 150 to 200 missionaries. Not interested in a lot of missionaries. I'm interested in impactful missionaries that are doing impactful works in areas of the world where other people are not going, but God's Word says we should. That's what we are doing. All of the other ministries that want us to consider them for support, whether it be homeless shelters or things like that, our missions funds do not go to these ministries. missions funds, every dollar you put into the offering plate that says missions, it goes to accomplish this very strategic plan. Every single dollar. Nothing failed. It all goes there. If you ever see that we have sent money to a college, that we have sent money to a Good News Mission, or we've sent money to, sometimes we'll help out life centers. All of those things come out of the church general fund, not missions funds. Missions funds line up with this strategy. And what I would love is if the mission strategy of this church isn't just something that is held by a pastor on staff or a group of pastors on staff, but that if our church as a whole understood the biblical philosophy of missions and everybody held on to this rope really tight, and if we all hold on to this and get behind this, then we will start further impacting those regions of the world that people say we can't. And I'm convinced that we can, that we are, and that we will do more. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your word and how it relates specifically to missions. I ask that you would help take these thoughts regarding missions and how you have given us the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in missions and how this was his emphasis also. And Lord, we pray that you would help these things to be rooted deep within the heart of every member of our church so that we can all hold tight to it together. That if anything ever comes that would try to get us off focus, even slightly, that, Lord, you would make us very discerning because we don't want to lose the impact that we have for missions. I'm going to ask the instruments, if